three incredible saints reveal to us an often forgotten, perhaps not even believed, detail about purgatory that shows us some of these facts, but there's also mysteries hidden behind it. And along with that, I want to ask a question, is there something we can do to change what they show us? If you'd like to support this channel in any way, please do so through Buy Me a Coffee. Let's get right into it. Now, the following revelations are going to tell us where purgatory is typically, highlight that word, located. Listen to what they have to say. Now, this is from chapter 5 of the book from 10 called Purgatory. Saint Teresa of Avila had a great charity towards the souls in purgatory and assisted them as much as lay in her power by her prayers and good works. In recompense, God frequently showed her the souls she had delivered. She saw them at the moment of their release from suffering and of their entrance into heaven. Now they generally came forth from the bosom of the earth. I received tidings, she writes, of the death of a religious who had formerly been provincial of that province and afterwards of another. I was acquainted with him and he had rendered me great service. This intelligence caused me great uneasiness. Although this man was commendable for many virtues, I was apprehensive for the salvation of his soul, because he had been superior for the space of 20 years. And I always fear much for those who are charged with the cares of souls. Much grieved, I went to an oratory. There I conjured our divine Lord to apply to his religious the little good I had done during my life, and to supply the rest by his infinite merits, in order that this soul might be freed from purgatory. While I besought this grace with all the fervor of which I was capable, I saw on my right side this soul come forth from the depths of the earth and ascend into heaven in transports of joy. Although this priest was advanced in years, he appeared to me with the features of a man who had not yet attained the age of 30 and with a countenance resplendent with light. This vision, though very short, left me inundated with joy and without a shadow of a doubt as to the truth that I had seen. As I was separated by a great distance from the place where this servant of God had ended his days, it was some time before I learned the particulars of his edifying death. All those who were witnesses of it could not behold without admiration how he preserved consciousness to the last moment, the tears he shed, and the sentiments of humility with which he surrendered his soul to God. A second story, a religious of my community, a great servant of God, had been dead not quite 2 days. We were saying the office of the dead for her in choir. A sister was reading the lesson and I was standing to say the versicle. When half of the lesson had been said, I saw the soul of this religious come forth from the depths of the earth, like the one of which I have just spoken, and go to heaven. In this same monastery, there died at the age of 18 or 20 years another religious, a true model of fervor, regularity, and virtue. Her life had been but a tissue of maladies and sufferings patiently endured. I had no doubt, after having seen her live thus, that she had more than sufficient merits to exempt her from purgatory. Nevertheless, whilst I was at office, before she was interred, and about a quarter of an hour after her death, I saw her soul likewise issue from the earth and rise to heaven. Behold what Saint Teresa writes. Not just that, two more saints give us the same testimony. A like instance is recorded in the life of Saint Louis Bertrand of the Order of Saint Dominic. This life, written by Father Antist, a religious of the same order and who lived with the saint, is inserted in the Acta Sanctorum on the 10th of October, the year 1557. While St. Louis Bertrand resided at the convent of Valencia, the pest broke out in that city. The terrible plague spread rapidly, threatening to exterminate the inhabitants, and each one trembled for his life. A religious of the community, wishing to prepare himself fervently for death, made a general confession of his whole life to the saint, and on leaving him said, "Father, if it should now be pleased God to call me, I shall return and make it known to you my condition in the other life." He died a short time afterwards, and the following night he appeared to the saint. He told him that he was detained in purgatory on account of a few slight faults which remained to be expiated, and begged the saint to recommend him to the community. Saint Louis communicated the request immediately to the prior, who hastened to recommend the soul of the departed to the prayers and holy sacrifices of the brethren assembled in chapter. 6 days later, a man of the town, who knew nothing of what had passed at the convent, came to him to make his confession to Father Louis and told him that the soul of Father Clement had appeared to him. He said he saw the earth open up and the soul of the deceased father come forth all glorious. It resembled, he added, a resplendent star which rose through the air towards heaven. And then the last testimony, which has some interesting details at the end, we read in the life of St. Magdalene de Pazzi, written by her confessor, that this servant of God was made witness of the deliverance of a soul under the following circumstances. One of her sisters in religion had died some time previous, when the saint, being one day in prayer before the Blessed Sacrament, saw issue from the earth the soul of that sister, still captive in the dungeons of purgatory. She was enveloped in the mantle of flames, under which a robe of dazzling whiteness protected her from the fierce heat of the fire, and she remained an entire hour at the foot of the altar, adoring in an inexpressible annihilation the hidden God of the Eucharist. This hour of adoration, which Magdalene saw her perform, was the last of her penance. That hour passed, she arose and took her flight to heaven. So these revelations, and actually many more that I've read in other places, essentially say the same thing. And this is a common thinking even of the fathers of the church, along with thinkers like St. Thomas Aquinas, that hell and purgatory are situated in the heart of the earth, which, by the way, is 10,000 degrees Fahrenheit, 4,000 miles underground. That's the surface heat of the sun. Unbelievable that you're blazing like the very surface of the sun. Absolutely unbelievable. And so what's the meaning behind being there? Well, you could perhaps say that it's sort of convenient that there's this place in the center of the earth that all is already burning in fire, that if there's going to be people that are purified by fire and others that are punished for all eternity by fire, that you might as well use the fire that's already there. So you can kind of take the pragmatic look at it. I think a more mystical look at it is that it's a type of humiliation, along with the fact that your sins literally weigh you down and bring you down to this dark depth in the center of the earth. And so it's a call for us, first of all, to have incredible pity. Whenever you're walking, I want you to imagine that 4,000 miles underneath, there are souls in purgatory there that you could release. Perhaps you're even going to get the grace of seeing some of them being released from the depths of the earth. And it also serves to us as a warning, first of all, to be unbelievably humble, and then to ask the question, can it be otherwise? Well, St. Thomas Aquinas says that there's a second location for purgatory, and it's as providence dictates. He uses words such as these. Essentially, that sometimes it's a case that it's where someone died or where someone was very attached to. Sometimes it can be in holy shrines or things like that. Sometimes souls are allowed to appear in those particular places temporarily. But then there's another way that we can get out from being and doing our purgatory there. We should ask, as St. Carlo Acutis did, the grace to skip purgatory, but a perhaps lesser grace that is also easier to obtain is as follows. Listen to this. I have told you, and this is from the unpublished manuscript on purgatory, which is a conversation that this nun has with this nun who's in purgatory. And then she essentially kind of begins giving her this immense amount of wisdom about purgatory as well as a spiritual life. I have told you there are some souls who do their purgatory at the foot of the altar. They are not there for faults they have committed in church, because those faults which attack Jesus directly, Jesus present in the tabernacle, are punished with terrible severity in purgatory. So please do not sin against the Eucharist in any way. You will regret it for the thousands of years that it will feel like that you're in purgatory. The souls that are there at the foot of the altar in adoration are there as a reward for their reverent behavior in the sacred presence. They suffer less than if they were in purgatory itself, of course, because you're not in 4,000 degrees, or 10,000 degrees, sorry. They suffer less than if they were in purgatory itself, and Jesus, whom they contemplate with the eyes of their soul and of faith, softens their pains by his invisible presence. So to me, it seems that we should be asking for this principal grace by going to adoration, either in the tabernacle or in the Blessed Sacrament exposed in adoration, or if you're only able to have it at the very least at Mass, and to have the most reverent behavior, to love Jesus in the Blessed Sacrament, to distinguish yourself by this love, and to talk to him and say, Jesus, please, please grant me the grace to love you in the Blessed Sacrament, and grant me the grace to do my purgatory right here, right here. Can you imagine what a beautiful thing? And also how powerful of intercessors these souls are. Perhaps the next time you're in adoration before the Blessed Sacrament, you can pray for the souls that are probably right next to you and to ask them, please obtain at least one thing for me to do my purgatory as you do in front of the Blessed Sacrament. I could think of nothing more beautiful other than just skipping purgatory, but second best thing, which is, I would say, pretty good, that to do your purgatory not in the center of the earth, which is what the ordinary purgatory is done, but in the extraordinary place in front of their tabernacle. My friends, I hope this is wisdom that you will take to heart. Please support this channel in any way through Buy Me a Coffee, subscribe and like, and also I will be focusing this channel now exclusively on purgatory. I will and have started a new channel called Uniquely Mystic that will be much more broad, and I will bring in that channel everything and all of the treasures that we have in the Catholic mystical tradition. So please go and check that channel out and subscribe there. I'll see you in the next one.